Okay, good morning, everybody. Our third session here on the Gvuras Hashem. I would like to, what I'd like to do is the Hakdama Shlishis, the Maral's third introduction. And if we have time, hopefully we'll get to the second perek, second chapter of the Maral and the Gvuras Hashem. Hakdama Shlishis, really would seem, has as its purpose to explain why the Sefer is called the Gvuras Hashem, of all names. Remember that in the Hakdama Rishayna, he spoke generally about the value of speaking about Hashem's greatness within the Bria, Hashem's power within creation, that whereas Masa Bereshis is something that we keep hidden, but what happened after Masa Bereshis, the activities of Hashem as visible in the world, post-creation, in a world as we can see it, is something that we have to explore and that we have to discuss. We don't discuss a world before creation, we don't discuss Elam Haba, on that it says, Kvod Elokim Haster Davar, but the world that we see, the world that we experience, the world that we live in, that we certainly do discuss. Kvod Melachim Chakor Davar. And in the second section, he had this sort of part of the polemic with those who would have different views of miracles that we talked about last week at length, that the Maral discusses not only here, as we mentioned, in Hakdama Shnia, his target is the Ralbag, and elsewhere his target is the Rambam in the Pirkei Avos, you know, about the Maral basically, sort of the way we see it, which is the broad application of Hashem's presence, Hashem's ability to overturn nature, real time, and not trying in any which way to limit that, to see that in any reduced manner. That's again just in the framework of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hakdama Shlishis is where the Maral really defines the title of why he calls this the Gevuras Hashem. And to do that, he cites the pasuk of Lecha Hashem Hagedula VaGevura, right? The pasuk which says in Divrei Hayamim, was part of the tefillah of David HaMelech, right, like we say it every morning, Vayvarach David es Hashem, right, so Lecha Hashem Hagdula V'Hagvura HaTiferes V'Nefes V'Hoed, right, so we say has to you Hashem is the Gdula, is the greatness, is the Gvura, is the might, is the Tiferes, the glory, the Netzach, the strength, the power, the victory, the V'Hoed, and so on. So to you Hashem is the Gvura, and so we end up with Gvuras Hashem. And where does that come specifically to be associated with Yetzias Mitzrayim? So let me do with this thing. Where do we get to call specifically this story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the subject matter of this book, Gevuras Hashem? So you'd say, well, it's the might of Hashem. What's more the might of Hashem than Hashem's overcoming nature? Great, fine. So then you could eliminate the Hakdama Shlishis. Right? But what the Maral's going to do over here is he's going to show how the Gemara darshaned, interpreted this pasuk, and specifically associated it with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, of course, that substantiates the matter. I mean, you could maybe just even leave it empty so that they'll know. That substantiates. Okay. That's substantial. We're good. Huh? Oh, it's working. So that substantiates that substantiates his positing of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. But because of the nature of this Chazal, which doesn't just interpret Gevuras Hashem as Yetzias Mitzrayim, but goes through a whole list, it leaves it again open as an agoda that the Maral wants to explain its different dimensions, which of course will lead to enhanced an enhanced appreciation of what it means when we speak about Gvuras Hashem as being Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's the goal of this Hakdama Shlishis, to end up explaining why he called the book Gvuras Hashem, but in doing so to explain more fully the Chazal which associates Gvuras Hashem with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's a Gemara in Brachas, and the Gemara says, Rav Shela Darash Lahaikra, Rav Shela interpreted this pasuk of Lecha Hashem Agdula, and he said, to you Hashem is the Gdula refers to Masa Bereshis, refers to creation. The Chen Weimer, and so it says, I say Gedailois Ad Ein Cheker. You do Gedailois Ad Ein Cheker, beyond that which can be explored, right? Which we understand as being associated with creation. Vagevura is Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Chen Weimer, and so it says, Vayar Yisrael Es Hayod Hagdaila. They saw the great hand that Hashem had done against Mitzrayim. Now that's somewhat ironic, because it's Gedailah, it's big, right, which would be Gedula. But Hayad HaGedailah is understood to be the force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's understood to be Gvura. Vatiferes, Zuchamu Levana Sha'amdu Li Yehoshua. Tiferes refers to the sun and moon that froze in place for Yehoshua. We talked about that last week in the battle which he fought, which he waged. V'hanetzach, and the victory is Mapalosa Shel Rishua. That's the downfall of the Rishah, of the evil, which refers specifically to Nebuchadnezzar. And it brings a pasuk for that. Vahahoid zu milchemais Nachle Arnon. These are the battles of Nachle Arnon, of the rivers of Arnon, which we'll refer to again, Mirat Hashem, shortly as he explains. Ki chol v'ashamayim voretz, because all that's there in the heaven and the earth, that refers to the battle of Sisra, as it says, from the heavens, nilchamu ha-kechavim imsi loisam, they fought from the heavens, the stars, from their paths. And then it says, L'cha Hashem ha-mamlocha is the war against Amalek, and Ramisnase is the war against Goig u-Mogoig, Armageddon, the ultimate battle. And so on and so forth. L'cha l'roi, shomar ha-chanin afil reish gargusa min shmayim u-kmin lei. Anybody who's in charge of anything is appointed by Hashem. That's the first brisa. And the second brisa, he says, L'cha Hashem ha-gedula is kriyas yamsuf, and gevura is makas b'chayres. Tiferes is Matan Torah, which is going to, we'll see, will lend to the Maral calling his book on Matan Torah, the Tiferes Yisrael. V'hanetzach zu Yerushalayim, v'hahoid zu Beis HaMikdash, yivanu b'mehera v'yameinu. Okay, so those are the drushes. Taking the pasuk, parsing it, associating each phrase with a specific thing. And he says, v'roi l'tmaya, the obvious, amazing, or the thing which really requires explanation is, why does it mention these specific things? It's a very interesting laundry list that Rav Shela used to associate with these various strengths. And the Maral proceeds to give the following explanation. He says, when you speak about things which exist in the world, this is a Yisayid Naisa, this is a very foundational notion which we find in the Maral all over the place. The world has six directions, and then it has the seventh, which is the essence, which is the middle. The world has six directions, east, west, north, south, up, down. And then there's the core, the center, which isn't associated with any direction, and which is therefore to a certain degree associated with every direction, with every part. And so, what the Maral is going to do is, he's going to be explaining that each of these is associated, each of the things that we speak about here is associated conceptually with its appropriate direction. Says the Maral, Mizrach, the east. The east is the point of beginning, is the point of creation. The sun rises from the east. That is symbolic, in a certain sense, of the dawn of creation, of the beginning of things. And so he says, Mimizrach represents Masa Bereshis, represents creation, where we speak about, we use that term always, the dawn of creation, right? It's a terminology which is used, the beginning of time as life begins to emerge. And we praise that aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a beginning of time. L'cha Hashem HaGedula. Kedem, yes, Kedem is the beginning of time. Mizrach is Kedem, is the beginnings. Min haMizrach mischadesh ha'olam b'chol yoyim. Right, from the Mizrach, from the east, the sun begins every day. And you know, the discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, we could, you could darshan on this more, right? The Maral specific association here is, he says in the morning we say Hameir La'oretz Lador Malea Berachamim. In the bracha which we make in the morning, we say, Hashem, you bring light to the earth and to those who live upon it with mercy. And with his goodness renews every day, which is apparently with the dawn creation. So the two are sort of synonymous. The beginning of the day with the beginning of creation. And the beginning of every day is sort of symbolic of a renewal of the beginning of creation. So that direction, that piece, corresponds to Briyas HaOlam. If there's a sunset, excuse me, a couple of quick associations. Gedula is generally, as we say, associated with creation, and it's also associated with Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Ki Amarti Olam Chesed Ibana, as the creator, as that which motivated him to creation. Right? The Arizal says, when we say Hagodol, Hagibor, Vahanaira in the beginning of the Shemana Esrei, associating Hakadosh, describing Hashem as Hagodol, Hagibor, Vahanaira, Hagodol is associated with Avram, Hagibor is associated with Yitzchak, and Hanaira is associated with Yaakov Avinu. There are reasons, all kinds of things beyond, but Hagodol is associated with Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu is called Eson Ha Ezrachi. He's called, in Tehillim, he's referred to as, where he teaches about the creation of the world, he's called Eson, the strong one, Ha'ezrachi, right, which is, he brought the Zricha, he brought the shine, he brought the sunrise, as it says, Miheir Mimizrach Tzedek. It's all, this is the association of Hashem with creation. Of Hashem with creation. So Gedula, sunrise, Mizrach, that's the beginning. By contrast, Marav, west, would apply to some degree to the end of creation. It's the sunset. It's when the sun goes down. You know those famous descriptions in Chazal of how when Adam Arishon experienced his first sunset, he thought the world was coming to an end. Like darkness. Darkness sets in. The day is over. Maybe more than the day is over. If creation in its beginning is symbolized by let there be light, what happens when the lights go out? Right? So there's a sense there of the end of creation. What's that? Says the Maral, that's Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's Gevura. Gevura is where creation is overcome. Yitzias Mitzrayim was showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand over creation. That's Marav. That's the West. That's that side. That's that side of the equation. As the Maral expresses, is Hefsed Hanimtzoyim, Husad Shiganegle is Hefsed Hanimtzoyim, which is referring to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now you understand, I want to just point out to you something which you have to do. Maral doesn't bring it here, but it's obvious. And by the way, I just want to tell you, and let this be recorded for posterity, that I deeply miss Rabbi Hartman. I deeply, deeply miss Rabbi Hartman. And I know his ha'oris are, you don't realize how helpful they are until you start working without it. But there's an expression of Shechina b'marav. The Rebbein Hashem's presence is in the West. Right? It's very simple as a physical description, because on the Temple Mount, on the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Mishkan, where was the Holy of Holies where Hashem resided? On the western end of the building. We have this expression that the presence of Hashem is in the west. That's why we call the east the front, right? That's another reason why we call the east the front, because if Hashem is sitting in the west, then he's facing towards the east. That's why we have this tradition, which we have seen borne out over the last 2,000 years, that me'olam le'zaza shechina me'kaisel ha'maravi, the presence of Hashem never left the western wall. Right, at all times, other things may not have been exposed, may not have been used, but the western wall where we go to daven is because, right, that there's a, in the midrashim, it's never lost, it's never destroyed. The presence of Hashem is always there. So whatever practical interpretations you want to apply to that, but Hashem is associated with that idea of Shechina b'marav. And what would be the idea in light of what the Maral is explaining? Because what's the greatest contradiction to the visible presence of Hashem? Is the visible presence of nature. people worship the sun. The original Avodah Zarah, the original idol worship, was to the sun and the moon and the stars. You see the Torah's warnings against it. You see how the Rambam describes the evolution of Avodah Zarah in the beginning of the laws of Avodah Zarah. They worship these tremendous forces of nature. And even now, where we view Avodah Zarah as some kind of a primitive thing, but what is our contrast to Hashem Yisborach is science, which is again the forces of nature. So when the forces of nature are strong, that reduces the presence of Hashem. Why was Yitzias Mitzrayim, the way Hashem demonstrated himself as Hashem's presence in the world, so to speak, for dummies? Why is that? Because nature stopped. There was no possibility of seeing real competition at that point in time. Shechina b'marav, the presence of Hashem is where the sun sets. The presence of Hashem is where nature, to some degree, stops, where nature is shown in its full impotence, its full inability to be able to overcome HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shechina b'marav, the presence of Hashem is seen in Yitzias Mitzrayim, in the suspension of nature, in the end, to some degree, of nature. Of course, the ultimate goal is to see Hashem in nature and behind nature. But we know, again, as Hashem said in the beginning of last week's parsha, I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bekel Shakai, within nature, hidden. But now, for the Jewish people as a whole, I have to let them be known by my name of Hashem, which was completely anti-nature, which is, you know, without functioning within any system at all, but showing its superiority over the system. So that's Hagvura. And again, okay, so let's just notch that away, because again, this is really the purpose of this mimer, is in that statement, partially accomplished within that statement. Hagvura is Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Maral is just associating it with a point in the Bria, a point in the world, the suspension of nature. So then he says, okay, so that's east and west. He says, what about north and south? What about north and south? So he says, Dorim, the direction of the south, is when, you know, in Talmudic description, and here I wish I was more of a scientist to understand exactly how this description works. But the Gemara understands based on Psukim, Hailech el Daroim v'Seveiv el Tzafoim, and some would see this in nature, Stanley Fishkind could certainly explain it to us, is that the sun starts in the east, it ends in the west, but it travels through the south. And the north, it's not seen as traveling to. The north is sort of like when it is the revolution of the sun till it starts its day, it starts its day again. It's not to be understood simplistically as, you know, whatever, under a box, but whatever it is, you know, the sun revolves around it. That's the way it's even described biblically. Doraim is when the sun is Aymed Berumay Shal Olam. Chazal explained that the term south is based on this description. Why is it called Doraim? Is Rumay, right? The sun at high noon is there in that point between east and west, there in the south. In the sky, that's what it's called. That's the angle which is called. If anybody has the scientific explanation for that or the astronomic explanation, I'm happy to hear. But
just because of Yerushalayim, notice the sun doesn't go straight up; it just goes in a certain direction. So when you look, so it's going from this way; it travels in the southern.
In the
sky.
Southern side. Okay.
Good. The Earth is 23 degrees off the axis.
Yeah.
The Earth isn't straight. It's like this.
Yeah.
So the sun will always be 20. That's why the sun is strongest. If you actually were to be straight above, is at the 23rd parallel, not the equator. Equator is the center of the world. The center of the world is not lined up in the Earth.
Right.
The sun. It's at the 23rd.
So it's more south.
So it's a southern right.
Southern.
That's
south.
Why in the northern hemisphere, you'll see the sun traversing the south. So if you're driving like in the afternoon and you're driving south, the sun will be like right in your face.
Because
it's going south.
Okay. I hear the words which you're saying, but I have complete mental block against understanding these things. So let that be recorded for posterity. So the
good effort.
But I hear the words. Right? Like, huh?
We need some charts and graphs.
Yeah. At least. At least.
More,
at least maybe a lobotomy.
Mass.
What? What?
There's more land mass in the northern hemisphere, so you don't have cold countries as much in the southern part of the world.
Okay.
More complicated.
Southern countries.
I'm just going to nod politely to everything you guys are saying. but the idea, the darom, listen, it's a beautiful thing. Just listen to the language of the words, the language of Lashon HaKodesh. Darom contains within it rum. Rum means high, strong position. What does the term safon mean? Safun means hidden. Or it's the exact opposites, polar, literally polar opposites between north and south in terms of the terminology. The north, right? We would see it in a certain sense the opposite, because we say north points up and south is down, right? But even in the Chumash you see that kind of a description of the direction. But nevertheless, there's this idea of rum, of high versus hidden, prominent versus hidden. So says the Maharal, those two sides of Dorim Vitzafoin represent, on the one hand, where you have the prominent strength of Hashem, and Safoin is the hidden strength of Hashem. So how does he explain it? So he says as follows, that Mapalosa shel Risha, when Chazal say that Hanetzach is referring to the Mapola, the downfall of the enemies of the Jewish people, you know, so that's speaking about, that's corresponding to Dorim, that's to the south, which shows the high strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, there are times when the victory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very hidden. And the classic example of that is Nachal Arnon, the victory at Nachal Arnon. What's the victory of Nachal Arnon? It's so hidden that it's not even familiar. I mean, you'll be reminded of it, you'll probably remember, but it's a pretty hidden story, which we learn from the Song of the Be'er. It's almost like the Song of the Be'er, the Song of the Well, which also is like Oz Yashir. It starts with Oz Yashir, stands as the contrast to the Song of the Yamsuf. And in fact, they're linked together, right? Where it says, Esvoy besufa ve'es hanecholim arnoin. Right? There was a similar victory at the Nachal Arnoin as there was at the Yamsuf. Except the difference is at the Yamsuf, it was broadcast real time throughout the world. Everybody knew about it. Shamu Amim Yirgozan, Chilochas Yeshve Peloshas. The Jews knew about it. The Egyptians, boy, did they know about it. Right? All the nations, the surrounding nations knew about it. Nachal Arnoin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to reveal to the Jewish people after the fact. The Chazal say, the Gemara says, Rashi explains it there in Chumash, that what happened was, is the Jewish people were passing, trying to pass through there in the Midbar, so I think it was the Moavim, I don't remember anymore exactly which nation it was, but one of those neighboring nations of the Jewish people, they decided they were going to do a ambush on the Jewish people. Subtly attacked them. They knew when people went to fight them frontally, they were losing. So they were going to try to do an ambush. What was the ambush? The Jewish people would have to pass through a pass between two mountains. So they prepared themselves in caves at the top of one of the mountains. And so when the Jewish people would pass by, they would rain down on them missiles and all kinds of things to destroy and to harm and to hurt the Jewish people. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? So right before the Jewish people came, when all of those people were in position there in their caves, Hashem made an earthquake. And the way it worked was, and you know, the geologists would have a wonderful time with this, but originally, actually, those two mountains were one. And so the mountains had caves on one side and had teeth on the other side, which corresponded exactly to the caves, because it split in two, whatever it was. I'm embellishing a little bit what Chazal say, but this is what it describes. It describes that there were teeth corresponding to the caves, which presumes that, you know, they were together once, they split, and then, in advance of the Jewish people coming, they came back together. Except, there were some people in the caves, so that people got squished, and that was the end of that threat. But the Jewish people would never have known about it. because what happened was that they got rid of the enemy before the Jewish people would ever do it. You know what we say. You know what it says. It says, "Halus Hashem kol goyim shabchu kol o mikigor aleinu chazdei." Right? Praise Hashem, all the nations, all the kingdoms will sing his praises. Why? Because Hashem's kindness for us is forever. Why are they praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why aren't we praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it's written that the idea is because we only know the plots that we saw fail, but they know how many times they tried and failed, right? Without us even being clued in to the failure of the plot. So they give extra praise for, wow, look what Hashem is doing, in order to be able to save the Jewish people. So the Jewish people would never have known about it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that there was a stream that would come in that wadi, in that valley between those two mountains, and the remains, the blood and the bones of the Amorim that were squished, trickled down and were carried by the stream, a stream perhaps formed by the Be'er, by the well which carried with the Jewish people through the desert. So they said, what's going on here? And then they figured out the threat which had passed. So the whole battle was a secret. Everything was unknown. It's even taught to us in the Torah in a secretive way. So there's the obvious muscle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf, and then on the other hand, or of other victories, and then there are the hidden victories. So there's Doraim, and there's Tzafayim, and that's why we choose the general victory over the foreign kingdoms as one example, and then Nachal Arnon as the contrasting example, Tzafon and Doraim. So we've covered the four sides. In the middle of it, you have Hatiferes. Right? Gedula was Bereshis, Gevura was Yetzias Mitzrayim. By the way, the Maral expresses it here in a fantastic way. I think it's almost unique that he expresses it here this way. I don't recall him expressing it this way in other places where he discusses this. But he says, we speak always about the relationship between the 10 statements of creation and the 10 makos which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on Mitzrayim. He says the 10 makos which Hashem brought on Mitzrayim stand as the contrast, the contradiction of the 10 statements of creation. Right? It's important to see it this way. Hashem created the world with 10 statements, and then to some degree he contradicted it through Maaseh Bereishis, overcoming every aspect of creation through a makah. Right, and the Maral discusses this much later in the Gvuras Hashem, where he explains how each one contrasts there, a makkah to a maimar, a plague to a specific statement. In fact, Yoni's brother has a nice chart that he made of it. I don't know if you've seen this chart that he made of it. Right, but of that perek in the Maral, but that's Gedula versus Gevura, and then it says Tiferes. So what did Chazal darshan on Tiferes? Even in the first version, Tiferes was Chama ulevana sha'amdu liYehoshua, the sun and the moon that stopped in place for Yehoshua. So the way the Maral explains that is as follows: that Tiferes actually represents, you know, the harmony. Tiferes represents the middle. We always say Yahweh Avinu is Tiferes. And the presence of Hashem is found in the middle between everything else. Hashem is that seventh, right? He's not part of one of these poles of north, east, west, south. He's not part of, I should probably say it in this order, even though it's not presented in this order in the Pasuk or in the Chazal, he's also not part of the battle of Sisra, right, where we see him as invoking the heavens and the earth in his battles, which is one thing. All of Metzius, all of the material world, the Maral associates with one person up and down. That's those last dimensions. But Hashem is in the middle, because the material world is defined by its limitations. The material world is defined by its poles. By you go here to the end, you go there to the end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no end. So the presence of Hashem, the presence of the Spirit, is found in that point between all the extremes. That's conceptually the way we see it all the time. Yaakov Avinu was the Bechir Sheba Avais, was the chosen one of the Avais, was the one who was considered most to be that person of the Olam above another world, as opposed to of this world, because he wasn't occupying an extreme called Chesed, called kindness, like Avram Avinu, or an extreme called din, judgment like Yitzchak Avinu, but he was Tiferes, he was just there in the middle, not occupying any extreme, that midpoint between all six, between all the other directions. And he says that's symbolized by the Yahushua stopping the sun and the moon from its paths. And he explains, because, you know, that's really the ultimate symbol of something which is above and beyond this world. Remember, we learned about last week in the Perek where he said that, you know, there are those who understand, like the Ralbag, that the way the miracles are accomplished are not coming from Hashem as much as from the Seichel HaPoel, from the sort of, you know, active intellect that's going to be invoked by the Nevi'im. And therefore, they said, the problem is that that can't stop the sun and the moon from going, because that actually derives its strength from the sun and the moon. So therefore, the sun and the moon really didn't stop. The sun and the moon just, it seemed like time stood still for the battle of Yehoshua. Remember that discussion last time? And Maral was violently opposed to that. But he says that in itself demonstrates that that which could get the sun and the moon to stop and to freeze in place is a power from another world. And that's the Tiferes. That's the glory. That's what goes beyond. So that's the way he sort of follows through on all of these, drashos, l'chashem agdulos masabreshes, hagvuras yitzias mitzrayim, Tiferes is Chama Levana that stood, the sun and the moon that stood for Yehoshua. Netzach is Mapalosa Shel Rishah, and Hoid, which is the hidden, which is understood, is the war of Nachal Arnon. Chol Shem Voritz is the up and down is Milchemes Sisra. And then the Maral just follows through, and he says, after we finished all the side, we said, L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha HaMisnase. And he says, Mamlocha is Milchemes Amolek. Because we know about Amolek, Chazal teach us, we read, Ki Yad Al Keis Ka Milchama Hashem Amolek, that the Malchus of Hashem is incomplete until Amolek is destroyed. The Malchus of Hashem is incomplete Ad Sheyachri Zarei Shel Amolek. So therefore, the Malchus of Hashem is seen as not, as L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha is the triumph over Amolek. And Maral gets into a discussion about that here, explains the aspect, explains it, that the idea is, because we speak about the, you know, Malchus is Achdus. Malchus is the unifying, the bringing together of everything. We know this, right? A Melech, his role is to be that which is bringing together Lev Kolam. He's like the heart of all of the people, to make all the different streams and branches and parts of society to coalesce. That's L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha. Right? You know, it's written in Sforim that we see from Sheol that the king used to make a Rosh Chodesh Suda. Right? Remember the Haftarah we read whenever Rosh Chodesh comes out on Sunday? Mochar Chodesh, right? Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, Yonasan said to David, and you'll be noticed because your seat at the table is going to be empty. So the king made a Rosh Chodesh Suda. Why did the king make a Rosh Chodesh Suda? So it's written in Sforim, because what's Rosh Chodesh correspond to, right? The Torah writes that Pesach is Avram Avinu, and Shavuos is Yitzchak Avinu, and Sukkot is Yaakov Avinu. Again, the 12 Rosh Chodashim correspond to the 12 Shvatim. There are 12 months, there are 12 tribes. Right, neat. They're also sort of 13 tribes, right? Because they get to the Menashe and Ephraim, and they're sort of 13 months. But it corresponds to the Shiftei Ka. So what's the job of the king? Vayhi Bishurun Melech, and in Yeshurun, and the Jewish people, there will be a king, Asif Rosh Hayom, and the leaders of the people gather, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, together all the tribes of the Jewish people. The king's job is to bring together the tribal factions. Right? It's not supposed to be northern Afghanistan. It's supposed to be everybody together. Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. So every month, right, the king made a Suda, celebrating the Shevet, bringing the Sheva together, bringing the Shvatim together, bringing the governors of the various Shvatim together to celebrate each Sheva. That's the idea of the king, to bring everybody together. Echad. When we speak about the kingdom of Hashem, so we say Hashem's throne won't be complete, his name won't be complete until Amalek is gone, right? Ki yod al kase ka, because the hand is placed on the case. What's the case? What's the case? It has nothing to do with the tailgating party before today's the game, right? What is case called? Case is the throne, the throne of Hashem. But you say, what is that? That's kisei. Kisei. A case is, well, it's an incomplete throne. It's an incomplete throne. Maybe, right, as we would say, it's the throne without the footstool. It's the throne without the footrest of being Hashem. Hashem's presence on this world is the footrest. Ki yod al kase ka, ka, right? That's half of the name of Hashem. Yud and Hey is the first half of the full name of Hashem. So says Rashi, why does it say that? Because the throne of Hashem is incomplete and the name of Hashem is incomplete until Amalek is out of the picture. What does that mean that Hashem's name is incomplete? What happens at the end of day? So let's go to another pasuk. Bayomahu, on that day, the day of the end of days, Hashem will be one and his name will be one. Right? Hashem, then we're going to pronounce the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Hashem will be one. Because what Amalek represents is ribui. Amalek represents that it's not one. That you don't have this unification. That you have this sort of a division. Amalek is Meira, in the words of the Maharal, Amalek is Meira al Hashnius. Kiluzarehu Hashnius Shiyesh Ba'elam. That's the secondariness, the duality, the separation. Think about it. Right? So we know, of course, in general, when we speak about the material world, that's always, like we were discussing a moment ago, there are always the poles. There's this side and that side. That's duality. Creation of the physical world starts with the letter Beis, Bereshis, 2. The harmony, Matan Torah, starts with the letter Aleph, Anochi, with unification. Amalek represents Shnius, represents divergence. How did the Jewish people triumph against Amalek in the story of Purim? Right, everybody knows. Lech, Kenais, Eskol Ayhudim, go bring together all of the Jews. The reason why Purim is celebrated by Mishleach Manais and Matanis Lev Yainim and Sudas Purim is because you have these feasts and these gifts that you go to bring together. You're supposed to specifically send Manais, send the gifts not to your best friends, but your worst friends, right, in order to bring people together. That's the goal of the whole thing. That's the way you go against Amalek. So Hamamlocha, the kingdom, which is the unification, stands against Amalek. That's Milchames Amalek. Misnase, says Noral, that's like from the term Nasi. You know, we have a term, a melech, a king. We have a term, Nasi. Now, a Nasi is a prince. And each Shevet, for example, had a Nasi. But we also spoke, let's say, about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. It was the Nasi of the entire Jewish people. But he was during a time when there was no king. And the term Nasi is that he's lifted up. He's higher than everybody else. A melech is more, says the Maral, than higher than anybody else. A melech is somehow beyond. The Nasi is of, but higher than everybody else. And he says, Gog u'Magog, the war of Gog u'Magog is not the same as the war of Amalek. And I'm just going to tell this to you. I don't have good understanding at all of issues around Milchemes Gog u'Magog, right? So I'm just going to tell you a little bit here of what the Maral says, which is that Gog u'Magog, we know, come from, who are they descendants of? They're descendants of Yefes, right? You open up a Chumash, right? That's where they're referred to in the Chumash. B'nei Yefes Goymer u'Magog u'Madai v'Yefen v'Yavan v'Siras, right? They're children of Yefes. Yefes is the oldest. He's the Gadol. So he views himself in a certain sense as being supreme. So he challenges the supremacy of his younger brother, Shem, who's associated with Hashem. So the Misnase is when we triumph over those who would consider themselves bigger and higher. That's the way the Maral explains it. So that's his first, that's on the first Rasha. The second Rasha that he says is Hagedula, right? What it says in the Gemara is Hagedula is Kriyas Yamsuf and Hagavura is Makas Bechares. explains the Maral, what does that mean? So both of them are Yitzias Mitzrayim. But he says there are two kinds of Makos in Mitzrayim. Gedula is Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was, in a sense, not a destruction of Maisa Bereishis, but a redoing of Maisa Bereishis. It's a redoing of Maisa Bereishis. He explains that the idea is because what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf is that during Maisa Bereishis, Hashem gathered together the one water in some places, allowing the dry land to be exposed in other places. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did at Kriyas Yamsuf. He again did what he did at creation. He assembled the water into certain channels, leaving other areas dry. Makas Bechayres was, however, not redoing what he did at Bereishis. Makas Bechayres is destruction. That's Hefsid. That's destroying what was there in creation. So again, the same thing. Gedula refers to creation. But Hashem's creative power, doing what he did at creation, he did again at the Kriyas Yamsuf part. But the Makos were a bittul to creation. This is a new insight that the Maral offers here between the difference between the stage called the 10 miracles which happened in Mitzrayim and the 10 miracles which happened at the Yamsuf. At Mitzrayim, he was Mevatel creation. Makos. At Yamsuf, in a sense, he redid what he did at creation. And so he says that's Gedula versus Gevura. Tiferes is Matan Torah, so that fits because Tiferes is the presence of Hashem. Netzach, he says, is the Beis Hamikdash because the Beis Hamikdash is Beis Eilamim. And Hoid is the Beis Hamikdash because that's where you have the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says this very, very quickly, but he says, look, so he says, now you know why I want to call the Sefer Gvuras Hashem? Because according to either interpretation of the Gemara, Yitzias Mitzrayim itself, Makas Bechayres, the breakdown of nature, is referred to as Gevura. There's Gedula, there's Hashem's power in creating the world, and then there's Gevura, which is Hashem's power in overcoming, and at least temporarily, negating the creation which he has made. And that's, as we said, Shechina B'Marav. The presence of Hashem is seen most vividly in the west where the sun sets, where nature is eclipsed, where nature's power seems to go down and to descend and to fail, and instead comes the presence of Hashem. That's where Hashem is seen most. And that's Gevurais Hashem. That's the strength, that's the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on its most vivid display. Now, we're not going to get a chance to get to Perek Sheni, even though I said at the beginning, hopefully, maybe, but you know, you guys were used to that. Over-ambitious here. However, let me just follow through here the last paragraph of the Maral's introduction. And he says, V'timtza bein l'braisa bein l'das rav shela roi shiyin nikri yitzias Mitzrayim gvuras Hashem. So he says, according to both versions, whether the braisa of Rabbi Akiva, whether Rav Shela, their interpretation of l'cha Hashem ha-givura refers to yitzias Mitzrayim. So he says, V'yachibur hazeh shu kailo seder nirtzav nechot l'shei svarim. He says, the truth is, I want this to be part of a six-book epic series. He says, book one is going to be Sefer HaGedula. Rav Shela said, Gedula refers to Maase Bereishis. And he says, that's going to be my book about Shabbos. Shabbos is the testament to creation. And therefore, I'm going to have a book called Gedula, Sefer Gedulas Hashem, or Sefer HaGedula, which is going to be about Shabbos. Sad news, we don't have such a Sefer. We don't know. I don't know if the Maral wrote it. Did he lose anywhere else and it was just lost, or was a plan that never ended up being materialized? Gevura is Seder HaPesach. He says this is the book for Pesach, which is Gevura Hashem, which is about Yitzias Mitzrayim. The next one, Tiferes, is going to be about Matan Torah. That's going to be Seder Matan Torah Shavuos. as Rabbi Akiva said, Tiferes refers to Matan Torah. The third is the harmonious, is the one in the middle, which refers to the presence of Hashem, which, as we learned a lot when we learned the Tiferes, is the Torah is the presence of Hashem in the world. He says the fourth chelek is Hanetzach, which he says is going to be the Seder of Tisha B'Av. The Netzach Yisrael, as you remember, was about the Jewish people and our experience through the Golios, the eternity of the Jewish people, the fact that despite whatever goes on, all the ups and downs of the Jewish people, but they endure. And so we say over here in the Chazal, it says Netzach refers to Mapolo Shel Rishah, the downfall of the evil empires, whether it is Bavel, whether it is Edom. That's the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, which gives us to understand the ultimate endings of Jewish history. And he says Sukkot, the book of Sukkot. So we have Pesach, Shavuos, Shabbos, Pesach, Shavuos, Tisha B'Av, and then you have Sukkot. So he says Sukkot would be Sefer HaHoid, which again is a book that we don't have, Hoid. And he says why Hoid? Because the Haidah, which is given on Sukkot, you know, Sukkot is most vividly celebrated by the gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything which we have at the end of the season, the Hallel, the Haidah, with the Arba Minim. So again, that's a Sefer that we don't have. And then he says, Kichel Bashamayim Uva'aretz would be the order of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. Again, yet another Sefer that we don't have. So he says, let's get started with Pesach. So again, of the Svarim, we have the Gevura, we have the Tiferes, and we have the Netzach. We don't have the Gedula, we don't have the Hoid, and we don't have the Kichol Bashamayim Vorets. We don't have those Svarim, and we don't have those Svarim from the Maral. But that's his Hagdom of Shlishis, explaining why there's this concept of Gevura. And questions or comments?
You have in Kriyas Yamsuf both elements, duality of Guru and Gedula, because you do have people to the extreme there where they died.
Right, correct. You do. There is an element of Makkah, which is secondary to Kriyas Yamsuf. It's primarily Hatzolah. And you know that's usually the way we explain it. I vaguely remember discussing it, but maybe, no, I didn't. I don't think we discussed it here recently. I think it was in a different shiur. But the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos describes 10 miracles which happened in Mitzrayim and 10 miracles which happened at the Yam Suf. Right? What's the difference between that? The distinguishing between the Makos of Mitzrayim and the Kriyas Yam Suf. Two separate phases. So what's the difference between those two things? So there are a couple of different interpretations. The Maral says something very interesting, that he says that the two contradictory forces to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are El Malchus, the yoke of kingdom, and Ol Derech Eretz, and the power of nature, and the power of nature. And the Makos themselves were primarily to knock down Mitzrayim in front of the Jewish people, the kingdom, and Kriyas Yamsuf was to triumph over nature, that the nature moves away from in front of the Jewish people. I think I'm saying that over accurately. The Ramban generally understands, and this dovetails well with this division which the Maral is making here, the Ramban understands that at Mitzrayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, Kal Yisrael saw, that Hashem wanted to get the Egyptians. The Egyptians were terrible, they were wicked. He saw that Hashem wanted to judge the Egyptians. The Jewish people would be the lucky guys, that as Hashem is punishing the Egyptians for all the terrible things that they did, so that means we get to walk away, because Hashem is so upset at the Egyptians, and He gives it to the Egyptians so badly, we're the lucky ones who get to pick up on that and walk out of Mitzrayim. But we didn't see that Hashem primarily directed it at us. We saw Hashem's judgment of the Egyptians, and we got lucky. But we didn't see necessarily Hashem's positive interest in us. Kriyas Yamsuf was the opposite. Kriyas Yamsuf was, the primary goal of Kriyas Yamsuf was that the sea would split in front of the Jews. Right? So we could go, we could run off away. When Kriyas Yamsuf ended, what happened? The Egyptians were in the sea, the miracle ended, and it tumbled down on the Egyptians. The Makos and Mitzrayim were primarily to hit the Egyptians, and we got an ancillary benefit. Kriyas Yamsu was primarily to benefit us, and they got an ancillary slap in the face, punch in the stomach, right? Buried alive. So that shows this part. That, I think, matches, in a certain sense, with the duality which the Maral is describing here. That Makas Bechoros, as the ultimate symbol of Makos Mitzrayim, right, we talked about it some of us this week between Mincha and Maariv, right, what the differences of Makos Bechoros between the other nine Makos, that was actually punishment, right? The Sforne says in last week's Parsha, the other Makos were demonstration. The first nine were demonstration. Makos Bechoros was the destruction of Egypt, right? It was the punishment. The other ones weren't the punishments. They were just to show the presence of Hashem. Makos Bechoros was the destruction. It's that side, destroying Egypt. But Kriyas Yamsuf is creation, is positive, is giving to the Jewish people. So of course, yes, there ends up being a punishment in that, in the choice of the Jewish people and in doing for the Jewish people. So there's collateral damage. The Egyptians fall by the wayside. The Egyptians end up losing out. But it's, you know, that's the way it works. That's the way it divides. That's the way it divides.
So there's no human commission.
Okay. So Emirat Hashem, the first week that we learned, after learning in general about this idea of discussing Hashem, we learned the first chapter of the Maral, which was about why we're able to begin the process of praising Hashem. Emirat Hashem, next time we'll learn Perek Beis, which is a fascinating thing. It's not so typical Maralian. It's an example of a genre of the Maral which we'll see much later in the Gvuras Hashem, but it's a Maral where he argues on the Rambam. Not on a philosophical thing, but on a halachic thing, and about the basis for the mitzvah, the source and the Torah for the mitzvah of saying the Haggadah Leil Pesach. And Mirat Hashem, we'll learn it, and we'll learn out of the Maral as well. We'll learn from some other sources who defend the Rambam and explain the Rambam against the Maral. And Mirat Hashem, we'll have a good time. Okay.
I didn't get a chance to open his emails.
What's that?
Pretty nice when you get a chance to open his emails.
You're very good in the last night.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I practice for that always.
So the Yod HaGdolah overcomes. Asher Osa Hashem Mitzrayim. Look at Rashi over there. I think Rashi says it out. It's in the Gemara Brachos. The Yod HaGdolah, Asher Osa Hashem Mitzrayim, comes to the big word. It's not the word Gedula itself that it's darshaning, but HaYod HaGdolah, Asher Osa. Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Avi.